You're always there, as Pastor Daniel talked about, different seasons. But I love it that you never take a season off. You never go on vacation. You never have an off day. And Lord, I pray that we would become more like you, that we would not take a vacation from you or the things that are really on your heart, that we would not have our ups and our downs, but Lord, that we would be just as faithful also. Lord, teach us to be that way. And I think the message today will show us, even the message today, Lord, will show us how we accomplish that. Lord, because we do want to wake up and give you joy. Amen, church? Amen. Go ahead and turn, if you would, to Romans 12:2. You know, last week, if you weren't here, you need to get the message. One of the things that we looked at is being really a sacrifice, giving your body as a sacrifice, living sacrifice. And I talked about it, gave the challenge to the church, really out of Psalm 118, I think verse 24, to really wake up every morning and raise your hands to the Lord and just say, Lord, I thank you for this day, that I exist today, this day came because you ordered it. And Lord, I'm free to be used of you. Psalm 118, 24, I think says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's really the truth. Regardless, especially in Oregon, I mean, we have those days that are just the sun's out. I mean, just beautiful. And then there's those days that you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go outside. But both days are made of the Lord. Both days are ordained, and both days we must rejoice and be glad in it because he can use us. That's really the key to it. So if you weren't here last week, get online or get our app and listen to the message. But today, the Apostle Paul, in verse 2, he's still reaching back to what he's taught the first 11 chapters. Last week we looked at that really the first 11 chapters, he's teaching doctrine, he's teaching theology, and from chapter 12 on, it's really very practical. How do you live this out? If the Lord has done all these things, if he has made a way for you to be saved, made a way for you to be justified, in other words, not guilty, made you to be righteous, right with God, all these things, then how do we then take that and live with it so it doesn't just stay theoretical? And a lot of believers, they keep the Bible theoretical. They're like, they know the stories, but they don't apply the stories. And they wonder why their life really has not, you know, been that abundant life that Jesus talked about. And that's really the reason, is because we don't apply the things that we've learned. And so really the Apostle Paul today, he's talking still like he did last week, that if you understand God's goodness, then there comes an obligation. And so this week we're looking at really the obligation is that we live a righteous life. He's made us right with him, but that doesn't mean that now we're free to go live a wrong life. But no, we live like righteous people, people that are right with God. And so he's going to look at that way. But we don't live a righteous life living like everybody else around us. That's the problem. We are influenced by a culture. We're influenced by families. We're influenced by friends and workplaces and those kind of things. And so we'll never live the righteous life that the Lord has called us to doing what everybody else does. In fact, let's look at verse 2 of Romans 12. Here we go. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. And so here's the contrast. But be transformed. And you could say, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're only looking really at one verse. Last week we looked at one verse. We're going to look at one, but it's full of a lot of principles. I'm going to give you three today. Here's the first thing this verse tells me, point number one, and that is that don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You got to understand, everything in our world is geared towards squeezing you into that mold. You got to understand everything from the moment you woke up till your head hits the bed. And even I would say in the spiritual realm, sometimes even as you sleep, there's everything of this world is hoping to squeeze you into the mold of this world. And yet we're told here, do not be conformed. It's really an active thing. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, because he's writing this to the church in Rome, it must have been what they were doing. He must have noticed or heard that, wait a minute, some of those Roman Christians, they're just living like the rest of the world around them. You couldn't distinguish them from the rest of the people in the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul says, no, that's that's a problem. And it's a problem today, even in the church, I got to tell you. You know, you hear me say as a pastor, you know, leave the worldly stuff out there. Don't be bringing it in here. Right? I've been out there. I've lived it. And I tell you what, it's not fulfilling. You've lived it. It's not fulfilling. I don't want it in the church. And so he says, do not be conformed. And to, that word really conform really means to conform to something else in your mind and in your character, right? It's really a pattern. Don't pattern yourself after what you see out there. Don't pattern yourself after what you see on TV. Don't pattern yourself after what you read online. None of those things, right? Our pattern is Jesus and really God's ways and God's principles. That's always our pattern. And yet we have this pressure against us. So it talks about really the root word of that word comfort. It means to fashion into something different. And it's really the tensor means it's an ongoing thing. So it's a fight that we don't just fight once, but you'll always fight it, right? You'll always fight it. Every day the fight is on, will you conform to the world's ways? Because that's what the world wants. In fact, if you dare step out of line, we're going to check you, right? We're going to check. You see it online. Somebody says something about God. All of a sudden, everybody jumps. It's almost like I called dogpile when we were kids. Remember dogpile? Everybody just jump on somebody. That's the way it is online today. That's the way it is in the workplace and other places, right? And it's because the world is trying to squeeze you into its mold. But here's what we got to understand, that Jesus didn't die to leave us the same like he found us. He didn't die to leave you in the same way. He didn't do that, right? He has a purpose, and the purpose is to make you more like his son, to make you more like his son, Jesus. And so we have to resist conformity to the things of the world. You know, I think it's a good thing every year, and the new year is coming up soon, and it's a perfect time for us to make changes in our life. It's good to say, is there anything of this world that is conforming me? Is there a TV show? Like, there's one TV show that Pam and I watched, and it was funny. I mean, it was the funniest thing. But probably within 2-3 episodes in, we're like, you know what? No, I don't think this is something that the Lord would want us to see. And as funny as it was, and it was, you know, award-winning. I mean, it was great, but it was like, no. See, because, and then I have that attitude toward a lot of things that I watch. Because I ask myself, what are they trying to sell me? Because they're trying to sell me something. What is the point of view that they're trying to sell me? And there's some things I will not watch because I know really the agenda behind it. And as believers, we need to be more astute, more discerning of those things. That's what the Apostle Paul say, man, you do not do that. Do not be conformed. Do not pattern. Don't copy their behavior. Don't copy their behavior. Don't copy their views. Don't copy their opinions. Don't copy their ideas. Don't copy their goals. Remember, he says, you represent God, not the world. And I, you know, with me as a pastor, when I get online, I'm surprised that people that call themselves Christians have the same view as the world. See, right? See, I think it's impossible to live in both places. That you either are a follower of Jesus and you're following his ways, or you're really following the world and the way the world conducts itself. And so if your views agree with the world's view, there's a huge problem. If your opinions agree with the world's opinions, there's a huge disconnect. And I've known people that really have made a huge swing. And it's almost like now, instead of really being those that are proponents of the things of God, they're really proponents of the things of the world. And I'm like, and I've known people that were in ministry that way. People that were in ministry that now attack believers. People that are in ministry that now trumpet the things of the world. That the very things that the world believes, the deception, the lies, these people that are in ministry are now doing the same thing. I'm like, how is that possible? The Apostle Paul tells us, because this is really a warning to us. Don't allow yourself to be conformed to these things, right? And I want to show you something that indeed he found me. This was pretty perfect. Bring up the next slide. This thing's called a pantograph, and really what it does is it traces and reproduces an image. And usually they use it if you want to, like, you know, double the size of an image. And so the way you arrange it, it would really draw something that's the same exact thing but double the size. And really that's a perfect thing what the Apostle Paul's saying. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. It's as if your life is being patterned after the things of the world. And it shouldn't, because our pattern, if there is a pattern, is Jesus. That's the person, and that's the one who we reproduce ourselves after, who we pattern ourselves, right? And you say, well, what is Jesus like? Well, that's why we have to get in the Word, and we get into the Word how often, church? Every day. Every day we get into the Word. I learn from him every day. I've been in the Word now for 40 some years. And I tell you what, there's days I'm thinking, have I ever read this before? This sounds new. Did somebody insert a book? Right? I mean, it's always just enlightening to me. There's never been a day in which the Word of God has not corrected me. Not one. Every day I read it, it corrects me. It smacks me around. It sets me straight. It encourages me, right? But I need that. Because there's some crazy stuff going on in here. And crazy stuff going on in here, right? And don't act like there's none in you. Don't be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Don't get all righteous with me, right? No way. But that's why we need to be the Word of God every day. Because it just, you know, I like I said, my wife doesn't feel good today, right? And so there was dishes and all that. And not that I'm trying to get points from you, my love, but but I can be real selfish and just think, well, she'll do the dishes when she feels better. Now, you've been there, bro. There's two of us that are willing to admit that. But you know what? It was like the Holy Spirit saying, you're so selfish, you know? Do the dishes. Poor girl sick. Do the dishes, right? Man. That's why I did it. The Holy Spirit. You know, the world we live in is real selfish. And we can pattern ourselves like that. And pretty soon we found ourselves being selfish. Right? We see, we're supposed to be the people of unconditional love, of selflessness, right? Jesus set an example for us. He served. I remember he put a towel upon himself and he washed the feet of the disciples. He said, I did that to show you an example. In other words, that's the pattern. And so I'm like, oh, okay, the pattern of Jesus is a pattern of service. The pattern of Jesus is serving. The pattern of Jesus is really giving yourself up. That's what I want to be able to do. Look in 1 Peter 1:14. This one here, in the verses before and after, it talks about, you know, really being, you know, sober-minded, really focused on the things that the Lord wants you to do. It talks about, in the verses after, it talks about, you know, getting to the place of holiness, the place where you're separate. But it says here, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lusts, as in your ignorance. He goes, man, don't go back to those old ways of thinking. He goes, a lot of those old ways you used to think because you were ignorant, but really the assumption and the case he's making is you're not ignorant anymore. So why are you still thinking that way? Why are you thinking that way? And if we're still thinking the way we used to think, there's a huge problem. Hopefully you're fighting it every day. Can I get an amen? Hopefully every day, because it's not like all of a sudden you beat it once and for all. It visits every now and then. It visits every night. It knocks on the door just to see, you know, if you're going to invite it back in. The enemy's true that way. He's going to say, oh, I wonder if he's going to. And usually he catches us being lazy and we open the door. And he robs us and we wonder, how did that happen? You open the door. Keep the stinking door closed. That's kind of what the Apostle Paul is saying. Keep it closed. Don't allow yourself to be conformed to that thing or else it'll take anybody out. And so he says, don't conform to your former lusts, right? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all those things, right, is in your ignorance. And so he says, see, because God's Spirit is in us, we're not to conform, we're supposed to influence. See, we're supposed to be the people that influence, not conform. Not conform. You heard me say last week, if somebody at work, when I used to work for federal government, somebody and came to me and said, man, you're just, you know, you're not like the other Christians. You're like one of us. That to me would be, you know, I mean, I'd go jump off the building because I don't want to be like one of you. I used to be like one of you. I used to think the way you think, but I don't anymore. And so I liked it when people viewed me totally different because I was totally different. They're like, why are you always happy? Well, let me tell you. Why don't you cuss? Well, let me tell you. Right? I mean, why are you always going the extra mile? Well, let me tell you. But if I'm like everybody else, they're not going to see anything different. And so he says, don't conform to that old way of living, but instead influence. So he's talking about don't be conformed to the world. And really that word means the age that we're in, the passing age, right? Or we could say the popular culture, whatever the popular culture is, the world system, you know, and really the world system, wherever you go, it's really has certain markers. And the world system is that it's really wanting to get you to the place where you live away from God. It's trying to get you to make all the decisions and never check in with God. It's trying somehow to get rid of God. And you look at even in our nation, the things that you know, you think about prayer, right? The people that have a problem with prayer, right? Prayer in schools is like, okay, let's kick out prayer in schools. Are the people that don't even believe in God and don't believe in prayer. See, my argument to people is, well, if you don't believe in stuff, why your panties in a bunch, right? I mean, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Or I could use chonies, just, you know, I want to be. And yet, we got to understand that there is this world system that is really putting this pressure, right? Putting this pressure to conform us into the things that they are. So it's an ungodly way of thinking, because this world is really corrupt. It's really corrupt. You know, we see it at all levels. We see it at all levels. You see it like even our nation. I mean, you can call it, you can look at, and not, once again, these are generalizations I'm making, but you can see it in leadership. You can see it whether it's in government or in business or wherever it might be. And the way you can see some corruption as well as hypocrisy is there's two different rules. If it's our people, this is the way we're going to rule. But if it's other people, we're going to do a different thing. That is really corruption. That's a corrupt way of doing it. And it's really hypocrisy at its worst. And yet, we as people, we're like, is there anybody with integrity out there? Well, you know what? You and I should be the ones with integrity. That our yes would be yes, our no would be no, regardless of what happens. You know, it's interesting when you see the Old Testament, when God would be against some of the leaders, it was because they were taking bribes. You know, they were ruling against the little guy over the big guy. I mean, and he's like, no, you must rule integrous. And you know, one of the things that I didn't think I'd see, because I spent my whole career really serving judges, county judges, state judges, federal judges. I never thought in my lifetime that I would see corrupt judges. And yet, really the system, I got to tell you, is corrupted. So when I talk about the world being corrupted, the system is corrupted. And I tell you why, because it's not about ruling. It's not about seeking the truth. It's not about really even the precedent. It's really about, you know, whatever you're leaning toward. It's crazy. See, if there's anybody in our nation that should be neutral, it's our judiciary. If there's anybody in our nation that you can go to and get fairness, it should be our judges. But I tell you now, those days are gone. And I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. I mean, that's kind of a scary thing. But guess what? There is one judge. There is one judge that is still true. There's still one judge who is still integrous. There's still one judge that we can go to, right? And eventually everybody will be before that judge who knows everything. He knows the motives of men. He knows the motives of men. So it's in this world system, he said, don't really imitate. Don't pattern yourself after the system, because there's some real problems with it. You know, it's corrupt, it's selfish, divisive. I mean, the list, ignorant, is disease. I mean, I could make a list pages and pages long. And see, how do I know the system? Because I was part of that system. You were part of that system. See, and he's saying there's this tendency to go back to that way of thinking. To go back to that way of thinking. He said, you can't. Right? You can't go there. You know, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever, a good example I've got here, the world system is trying to squeeze you into its mold. That's really what political correctness is all about. Political correctness is all about squeezing you into that mold. That you don't dare step out and form your own mold. Don't you dare try to be an on-fire believer, because that's not politically correct, and we don't want that. And so, tell you what, you're going to get your hand slapped real quick. Well, the apostle, I can imagine the pressure that believers were on in the Roman Empire. I mean, we're talking, you know, tell you what, some of those guys probably paid with their life as a result of deciding to follow Jesus. Well, nobody in our nation is paying for their life, not right now that I know of. And yet, there is this push to mold us into the image of the world. And you got to understand who is behind the world, who's behind the world system. Scripture is real clear about that. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. This tells us who we are and then also the system that we are against. He says, and verse 1, and you he made alive. So that tells us we were what? Dead, right? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking the way you used to be. So he's making the case. You don't stay that way. He says, you used to be that way, but he made you alive. Verse 2, in which you once walked. So he's saying, don't walk that way no more. Right? You once walked according to the what? Course of this world. He's saying this world has a course, and it really does, and it's so obvious to me. It's obvious, right? It's obvious if you read the Word of God, you're going to say, wait a minute, a lot of what's happening today, like I talked about the judges, no different than what this holy book tells me. It's happened before. And you know, one of the things when I work with I'm gonna keep going. I know too much. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, okay, according to the prince of the power of the air. Okay. So he says there's this one that is moving things behind the scenes. Okay. And you know, if you've ever experienced evil, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes people go, oh, is evil really true? Well, when people say that, they've never experienced it. Never experienced that it exists. According to the prince of power of the air, the spirit, he's talking about these spiritual entities, demons, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You know, 2 Corinthians 6 talks about come out from them, separate. He says, don't have anything to do with that. So the first thing we need to know is this, that we don't let the world squeeze us into our mold. And to decide that the world's not going to squeeze you into the mold is to decide, you know what? I don't care what pain I have to experience. I don't care what the cost is going to be. I will not be squeezed into that mold because I won't answer to the world. I answer to God. Amen? Amen. So the second thing is this. Point number 2. Instead, we need to be radically transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what he says, right? Do not be conformed to the world. But then here's the contrast. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Transform, metamorpho, is where we get metamorphosis from, right? So it's the change into another form, to the another nature, another essence. He's saying you weren't like this. You're not like this anymore. You're totally different. It's a whole different form. You got to quit thinking the way you used to think. It's a radical change in your character. It's a radical change in your conduct. You're not the same. And I tell you what, I can honestly say I'm not the same guy that I used to be. In fact, I wonder, did I make that up? I mean, that it's so different. I wonder that guy even exists. And I think that's a good place to be. You know, because just the way I think and the change that he's talking about is an internal change. Not an external. I mean, it obviously manifests in the external, but he's saying what happens is you need to be transformed internally, and then you see it externally. So how do you get transformed? He goes, by the renewing of your mind, right? The renewing of your mind, a renewal, a renovation, a complete change. So he's really talking about a complete change in mindset. See, the mind, it's interesting, and really it speaks to our world. Our world is all about feelings. Listen to the message that you're hearing in our world. Whatever you feel is right in our world. Whatever you feel is right. But Scripture says, no, truth is what's right. I mean, diametrically opposed. And so he's saying the mindset has to be different because it's not what you feel, because we feel like doing a lot of things. Well, I feel like doing the dishes, but I never do them. Why? Because the mind didn't get engaged. The mind didn't get, until the mind gets engaged. So he's saying, really, you renew your mind, not your feelings. You can have all kinds of great feelings. Man, I think I want, you know, I mean, we hear people want to, you know, have these feelings for do a lot of things, but unless the mind is engaged, rarely will you see any difference. And so really he's saying you need to have a mindset that's God-focused, that is truth-focused. James calls it being a doer of the word. Doer of the word. It doesn't say have butterflies about the word. Oh, I love the word. No, I don't care if you love the word. Be a doer of the word because it's not about feelings. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Once again, talks about transformation. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, that means we see. We see it. We didn't see it before, now we see. As in a mirror or a reflection, right? As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. What's going on? Because we see now, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, means more to more, right? More and more it's happening, just as by the Spirit of God. So the transformation doesn't happen that you decide, I'm going to transform myself. It might start there, but it's the Holy Spirit transforms you. It's the Holy Spirit that will transform you, not yourself. I mean, you can grin and bear it for a while, but the renewal happens when you have Jesus time. The renewal happens when you're in the presence of the Lord. It's Him that does the adjustments internally. How many of you said, you know, I'm not going to do this sin anymore and did it again? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That shows you how far your mind power can take you. Because you say, I'm not going to do this. Right? Well, that's good. Ultimately, I said, Lord, I need you to change my heart. I need you to do an internal work. This is the way I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, shift something in me. That's the way I talked to Him. Shift something. Pull something out of me. Whatever you got to do. Because don't leave me this way. Because I don't want to sin against you like this no more. And that's what He's talking about. The transformation that's going to happen is an internal transformation. And really begins when we're born again. When we're born again, the transformation happens. The Holy Spirit becomes to live in it, begins to sanctify us, begins to clean us up, and really changes that pattern to be really in the image of Jesus. What we have to do is this. We have to keep our mind on spiritual things. We got to keep our mind on spiritual things, or else we get lazy, and then our mind is focused on all the things the world gives us. You know, I think in terms like a racehorse. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a racehorse. How many of you gamble? No, I'm just kidding. we're taking names. But a racehorse, they put those blinders on. And you know, sometimes I view myself that way. I got to walk, because the stuff in this world, I got to walk with blinders on. Because I know myself. Shiny things draw my attention. No, I need to keep my eye on the spiritual, on the things of the Lord. I got to do that. I got to force myself to do that. And then the other things is my wrong thoughts. Scripture talks about casting those things down. Whenever I have a crazy thought, I don't just entertain it. You know, no, I got to deal with it as soon as I can, and I cast it down, and then I replace it with truth. I replace it with truth. See, when a thought like this happens, and it doesn't happen as much because I'm in a different business now than I used to be, but back in the day, I think, you know, I should just go knock this guy out. Well, that's, wait a minute. You don't see that in Scripture? Yeah, go knock that guy out. The Lord says, forgive that guy. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to, but I don't want to forgive him. Right? Someone, he's got to pay for what he did. But then the Scripture says, if I won't forgive him, God won't forgive me. Oh, see how, okay, I'm going to forgive him, man. Right? Because I got a lot of stuff that needs forgiven. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I'm not going to let that stop my forgiveness. So I forgive him. Psh, Lord, you deal with him. Right? So we cast down wrong thoughts, and we're always fighting the flesh. Always fighting the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to be lazy. The flesh wants to take time. In fact, I'm gonna challenge you in a little bit to do something. And I know right away your flesh is going to give you all kinds of excuses. Oh, you're just a busy guy. Well, okay, your flesh will say, well, no, do it next time. I mean, our flesh, that's your flesh speaking to you. Say, no, man, you can't, it's just, you've got enough on your plate. Got enough on your plate. You know, he'd be a good example. If you think you're too busy, start tracking what you spend your time doing, right? Uh-oh. Start tracking. You know, we'll give 8 hours to TV in one day, when we could give God 1 hour each day, 7 a week, right? I mean, it's interesting. Well, we're like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm like, how does he know us so well? I fight the same fight. Amen? Yeah. I fight the same fight. I'm in the same place you are. So the first thing, the Apostle Paul, is don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The second thing, be radically transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And is renewed by the Word of God, being in the presence of God. God needs to do the work internally. You need to be radically, right, transformed. And here's the third thing. He goes on and he says this, that, you know, we know, we say, well, I know God's will is good. I know God's will is good, right? And yet we never walk it out. And that's what he's talking about. Instead, we need to prove in practice that God's will is good, that God's will is acceptable and that God's will is perfect. Let's look at verse 2 again. Don't be conformed to the world, right? Don't let them mold you into their image. No, instead we're transformed into Jesus' image. How? By the renewing of our mind in the presence of God by His Spirit. And then he says, when that happens, then you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, he's saying you don't know how good God is. You don't know how good His will is until you jump in. See, we want God to prove Himself before we jump in. We want God to, you know, open up the heavens and then, okay, we'll come in. No, he says it doesn't work that way. The only way you'll know my goodness is if you trust me. Then I'll show my goodness. The only way you'll know my faithfulness if you trust me to be faithful. You know, we want instant breakfast with God. It doesn't work that way, okay? He doesn't have a drive-through window. He doesn't. I've looked. Okay? I've looked. So he says that you may prove that which is good. The will of God is good. In other words, it's good for you, right? It's spiritual growth. God's will is good. His will is good. You got to understand that. Why wouldn't you want His will? Why wouldn't you want? See, sometimes we think, well, I don't know. When I first got saved, I didn't know if I could trust God. I'm like, I don't know. What's He going to ask me to do? What's He, you know? Is He going to have me give my money away? Give my car away? My house away? Right? Is He going to send me to Africa or something, you know? Haiti? Oh, my gosh. What's He going to do? I mean, I don't mean to be gross, but when you're sitting in Haiti in a bathroom with no door where people can see, you're like, what am I doing here? I'm like, this is crazy. And there's big old spiders and cockroaches and everything else. You're like, man, you know what? God's will is good, amen? His will is good. I don't care where you find yourself. It's exciting. His will is good. It's acceptable. In other words, it's pleasing to God, right? It's welcome. It's acceptable because His will expresses His nature. When you're walking in His will, you learn a lot about Him. You learn how good He is to you. You learn how good He is to you. And then it's perfect. His will is perfect. Without error or mistake, you really can't improve on it. He doesn't give you plan B. He doesn't give you half of His energy or half of His you know, effort. He doesn't do that. It's always good. It's always good. It's always perfect. So without renewing the mind, you won't discover God's will. Right? You need to submit to His will, His standards, His desires, His values, His practices, right? The opposite of the world, right? And God's will is a good thing. Look what Philippians 4:8 says this. This is a verse that you guys have read a lot of times. But look what he says. Once again, he's talking about what you should think on. Finally, brethren, so he's talking to believers, whatever things are true, right? He's saying get away from this whole feeding thing or whatever the world says. No, he says find out what is true. And if you want to know what is true, you look in this holy book, right? You look in this holy book. So it says whatever is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. Right? The TV show that I was watching, we're like, man, this is funny. But it didn't pass the pure test. It's got to go. It's got to go. Some of you are like, some things got to go. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Five people. The rest of you are like, what? Don't be messing with my shows. I hope to mess with your shows. And whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think, right? Meditate on these things, right? It's an accounting term. I take inventory, find out what the value of it is. He says these things are the most valuable things, and that's what you should be concentrating on, these things. You concentrate on things that are pure. Can you imagine if you had a pure heart? Wow. A pure heart, that your motives were pure. How different would your life be? Oh my gosh. Instead, you know, we're like the world. We're like, we say one thing, but we mean another thing. Oh, that's not the way believers are supposed to be. So here, if you put up the other slide, I've got a question for you. Does what you're thinking and reading and listening to, right, check off as true or pure or honorable or excellent or just, right? Can you imagine you take this list and whatever you do, you're like, okay, whatever we're going to watch when I get home, does it pass this list? Okay, it's gone, right? I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. When I'm at work and guys are getting around and they're telling a dirty joke, does that pass that? No, it doesn't, so I walk away. In fact, I would even correct them. I would even correct them. I mean, as a new parole officer, I remember, I was a new guy in the block. And so these parole officers were going to lunch. And so once again, I'm the new guy. The other guys had been, you know, officers for a long time, and we're going. And they start talking some stupid stuff. I won't even tell you because, I mean, you don't even need to know. You recognize stupid when you hear stupid, right? They're talking some stupid stuff. And so at that point, I had a choice. I just, because I'm the new guy on the block, I just keep my mouth shut. But I felt the Holy Spirit said, no, those guys are, I mean, so stupid, or and in stupidity, that you need to confront it. I'll tell you. I'll go ahead and tell you how stupid people can be. One of the officers' wife was pregnant, right? And so these guys were giving him advice as to what he should do while his wife is pregnant. You can fill in the blanks. So I'm thinking, that's stupid. But I'm the new guy in the block. Holy Spirit, no. And so this is what I told him. You know what? You guys are a bunch of perverts. Just came out. I'm like, you're gonna lay it out. You guys are a bunch of perverts. How dare you give him that advice, right? Sometimes you gotta call it the way it is. Sometimes you gotta do that, right? Here, I'm gonna conclude with this. We hate change. Right? But if you wanna be lined up to the will of God, you gotta accept the change that He wants to bring in your life. See, the transformation process begins by renewing your mind. And there's nothing that will renew your mind more than the Word of God. So here's the challenge that I'm going to give you. Remember, the flesh right now is going to talk to you. Right now. Here's the thing I want you to do. I want you for this new year, and I'm not done. We're going to talk about some new year stuff come new year. But there's two things in this new year that I want you to begin already to say, Lord, I want to do these things. Number one is to commit to reading through the Bible this whole year. Right? We in our app, if you just follow our app, you'll read through the Bible in the entire year. And then the second thing I want you to is really to take our discipleship program. Every cycle that we offer this year, to say, I'm going to do it. So again, the flesh is going to say, but I'm busy, but I'm... We hate change, and it's hard work. But if you want to renew the mind, that's what you must do. Amen? Amen. Love you guys.
Let's all stand. Let's worship.